Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to start today's discussion of the gospel lesson with verse 28. Verse 28, we read, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, what Jesus is doing here, he is summarizing his entire life. John's gospel begins by telling us that in the beginning was the Word, that is the Son of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. John the Baptist confessed of Christ that he is the very Lamb of God sent into the world for the world's redemption. He takes away the sin of the world. He makes the once and for all atonement that ever avails for the sins of everyone, so that we may rejoice in the comfort of the forgiveness of sins and the unearned grace of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In other words, Jesus coming into the world according to the will of the Father and the plan of salvation, and accomplishing the work of our redemption completely, and then leaving the world and going to the Father, means that we are now under the New Testament. We are in the accepted time. We are in the day of salvation. And so when Jesus says to his disciples, I came forth from God and am come into the world, again I leave the world and I go to my Father, he is summarizing his entire life on earth and his glorification at the right hand of the Father, so that we may know that our redemption is a purchased and won reality. Or as it says in chapter 14, verse 28, ye have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father. And then again, earlier in chapter 16, verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And then in chapter 19 of John's Gospel, verse 31, we read these words. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So, Jesus going to the Father is not, or should not have been, distressing to the disciples, because it means that redemption has been accomplished and that the blessings of the new covenant are now poured out generously upon all those who believe the good news and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So what are the blessings of the atonement? What are the blessings of redemption that Jesus talks about? Well, in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, he speaks of numerous blessings. We talked about the gift of the Holy Ghost last week. Today, we want to focus on a few other things. First of all, he says in verse 25, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs," that is in figures of speech, "but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." All right, so what Jesus is saying here is that now there are many things that he has said to them that are figurative language and difficult to understand. For example, 2 weeks ago, when he said, "A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to my Father." That is figurative speech. It is enigmatic speech. It's not easy for the disciples to understand. And they said to one another, we don't know what he's talking about. Here he says, "The time is coming when I will no longer use proverbs, I will no longer use figurative speech, but I will show you plainly of my Father." What time is he speaking of? He's speaking first about his post-resurrection appearances to his disciples, where he spoke to them over the course of 40 days. He spoke to them very plainly about the Father, about himself, about the Holy Spirit coming, and about their mission to preach the gospel to every nation. Then he speaks especially about the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus will speak to us by means of the Spirit. And the Spirit speaks to us through the written word of the gospel, so that Jesus is very active in communicating with his disciples on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, the result of Jesus through the Spirit speaking to the disciples is resulted in the New Testament books being written by the inspiration of God. And through these books, Jesus himself is speaking to us to kindle and sustain and nourish our faith, to encourage us to follow him, and to keep our eyes on the prize. So blessing number one in our gospel lesson today is that enigmatic speech will give way to plain talk of Christian doctrine. And this is what we have in the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit for our knowledge of God and for our comfort in the grace of God and for our hope of life to come. The second blessing that our gospel lesson speaks of today is the promise of prayer heard and answered in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to pay careful attention. He says, first of all, "Whatsoever ye shall ask." All right, so Jesus does not put any limits upon what we may pray for. He says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask." And then He adds to that by saying, he will give it you. And then he says, up until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask is an imperative word. It's a commandment. We are commanded to pray. But we are also promised that our prayers will be heard and answered, and that we will receive what we ask for. Right? So we have the command of God and the promise of God that our prayers will be heard and answered. But right sandwiched in between these two, there is an extremely important phrase. And that extremely important phrase is, whatever you ask the Father, in my name. Now, praying in the name of Jesus does not mean praying like a heathen and then tacking on the magic formula at the end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right? A lot of Christians pray like that. They pray as if the Lord is Santa Claus. They pray as if just tacking the name of Jesus on the end of the prayer without any regard to what that means is sufficient. And once you say, in the name of Jesus, it's got to happen. Right? What does in the name of Jesus mean? Well, two things. It means chiefly and mostly that we believe that we have access to God, and that we have the promise of answered prayer because of Jesus and the redemption that he has purchased and won for us. It is through Jesus that we have been made children of God. It is through Jesus and his redemption that our sins are washed away and that God's grace shines into our life, and that God's door is always open for us and his ear is always open to our prayers and our requests. This is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean simply to say the words in Jesus' name, but it means to come before God with faith that Jesus is your Redeemer, and in him the day of grace, the accepted time, the day of salvation is near, and that we are welcomed in the presence of God. A couple of passages of scripture. First, in the book of Romans, chapter 5. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? We have peace with God through Christ. By whom, by Christ also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we stand in the grace of God through Christ, by whom we have access to God. All right? So this is a wonderful thing. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through Christ, and he has granted us access to the grace in which we stand. We stand in God's grace through Christ, And that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says this: God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The gospel is the word of reconciliation, right? And he says, what God was up to, sending his son into the world and his son suffering and dying and rising again, what God was up to was he was acting to reconcile the world to himself. The world cannot reconcile itself to God unless God reconciles himself to the world. And so the reconciliation has taken place. What does reconciliation mean? It means that two warring parties have been brought together, and there is no longer animosity and anger, but there is peace and access and friendship. And this is what we have in Jesus. And that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It means that we pray to God, knowing that God is graciously disposed to us, he hears us, and he answers our prayers, because his son Jesus is our Redeemer, and by faith in him, we have been made the children of God. All right. Now, so we have talked about the fact that one blessing of Jesus going to the Father is that we will receive the plain speaking of Christian doctrine through the Holy Spirit by Jesus. Remember, he will take what is mine and he will show it to you. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does, and the result is the New Testament, so that we know the Word of God. And then the second blessing is we know that God is gracious to us for Christ's sake, and therefore he hears and answers our prayer. And then the last thing I want to mention today, as the Father in love sent the Son in love to redeem sinners, so we are assured of full fellowship with God through Christ. Jesus said, listen, he says, I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. He says, listen, this is how great the redemption is. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father, from God. The Father himself loves you. We don't have Jesus as the positive go-between between us and a reluctant, angry God. So that Jesus says, listen, you just use your, you just show him your Christian card at the door and you're in. You know, don't worry if he talks rough to you. You know, just show him the card and you're in. It's not like that, right? The Father in love sent the Son into the world to redeem it. And the Father, therefore, loves the Son and loves those who love the Son and believe in him. So your fellowship with God is a fellowship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And you are part of this family of God. You have been made children of God by faith in Christ. And therefore, the extent of this redemption is wonderful and comforting. God is not a reluctant acceptor of Jesus' sacrifice. He's the one who sent the Son into the world. It is the love of the Father and the Son that has resulted in our redemption, and therefore we may take comfort and boldly come to the Father in Jesus' name, knowing that the Father loves us, the Son loves us, the Spirit loves us, and we are blessed in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.